Hey, everybody. It's Pastor Jonathan Shelley from Steadfast Baptist Church, and we're having a live stream with Peter Reddock, Pastor Steven Anderson, and Pastor Dave Berzins. So I'll kick it off to Peter Reddock, and he can talk about his new documentary that he's making.
Hi, everyone. Good evening, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Anderson, and Pastor Berzins. Currently, we have been filming for the past few months the documentary of censorship. The War on Free Speech. I've been filming this along with Steadfast Baptist Church. Stronghold Baptist Church. We filmed literally coast to coast, the entire country, and we've got a lot of great stuff. And right now, we are getting ready for the post-production phase, like the editing phase, so that's going to be fun. Pastor Berzin?
Yeah, just so, I think it's probably a good idea right now just to introduce Peter Reddock. I think there's a lot of people out there that might be watching this who have never seen Peter, don't even really know who Peter is. So I've been working with Peter now, I don't know how long, Peter, maybe the past couple of years. I met you back a couple of years ago at Word of Truth Baptist Church. Peter is filming for Being Baptist, which is actually going to be released here real soon by Verity Baptist Church. They've sponsored that project, and Peter Reddock went out and did all the filming for it. And his idea is a great documentary coming up. Really excited about it. He's also helped me produce my Bible Way to Heaven salvation presentation that you can find on our website. And now, of course, the newest project is this documentary, Censored the War on Free Speech. So I think it's a great opportunity for people to get to know Peter, get to realize, you know, who he is and what he's been up to. I know that that Being Baptists, I think a lot of people have seen the trailer of Verity Baptist just released last week, I think it was. And it looks awesome. It looks great. Did you want to share the video for that? Did you have something ready to go, Peter? I don't know if we'd be able to do it or not. Maybe we could put a link up later, or do you want to check into that?
We could try to share the video, see if we can do a screen share, see if that will work. Let's see.
I think you'll be able to do a screen share, but they might not be able to hear the audio.
No audio.
Is what I've seen.
No audio? Okay.
Yeah, but people...
We can always put a link up at a later time.
Yeah.
Yeah, people can just go on YouTube.
Sure, but yeah, we'll definitely link that trailer for Being Baptist. Again, that is being released at the Red Hot on July 19th, and we are looking to have it screened at several locations across the country, so before it is released on YouTube.
And Being Baptist is a great film. It's going to go over why we're Baptists, right? I mean, it's going to go over some of the history and just why it is that Bible-believing Christians decide to be Baptists, why we became Baptists, and what it means to be a Baptist. So that's, I think that's going to be a great documentary to be able to share with other people, especially, you know, unsaved family and friends and people who go to other denominations that, you know, don't even realize the differences. I know before I got saved, I didn't realize the difference between all the different Christian denominations. I think that's going to be a great tool to help people to understand that. But so that's the newest project that's going to be released soon, but what you've been working on now is the Censored the War on Free Speech. I think this is going to be an excellent topic. It's very timely, this, with all the events that have been going on recently, and you're going to be covering, you have a lot of people that you've interviewed, but
yeah,
recently the topics have come up that just underscore why this is so important, why even create a documentary about what's going on in America with this war on free speech and all the censorship that's been happening. Most recently, Pastor Anderson, of course, has been now banned from how many countries is it? 31 or?
Yeah, 31 countries now. So basically, Baskin-Robbins has an ice cream flavor for every country that I'm banned from. You guys remember when Baskin-Robbins used to be called 31 flavors?
That's great. So, and what is it? What was the reasoning, the main reasoning behind the banning?
Well, the Netherlands is claiming that me coming there and preaching and doing soul winning is posing a public safety hazard because they're afraid that people with different ideologies are going to have some kind of a violent clash at my event. But obviously that's ridiculous because we've done events like this all over America and all over the world, and we've never had any problems. There's never been any violence. There's never been an issue. But that, if you go to my blog on sanderson1611.blogspot.com, there's actually the official document explaining the reasoning for banning me from the Netherlands. So people can actually read the official document.
Well, and I think part of the reason then is this concept that, you know, a speech is dangerous and that you, what you're going to be saying is going to cause all these problems, which is why literally what they're trying to do is just censor you. They don't want you coming there. They're trying to censor your message. Obviously, I think there's a lot more involved than that. You know, there's spiritual wickedness in high places that just doesn't want people getting saved. And that's what your trips are all about anyways, is the gospel. It's not about preaching against the homos. But, you know, it still is the mechanism, or one of the mechanisms that I think is going to be coming here and has already been coming to the United States as far as just trying to silence people. Besides the banning in of all those different countries, of even just be able to step foot in them, what about all the financial, you know, the problems that have been coming your way based on your speech?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they canceled our bank account, held on to our money for a week and a half, which was a little bit nerve-wracking. You know, we're trying to run the church and pay bills and stuff, and, you know, the vast majority of our money was frozen for a week and a half. And obviously, we've gone through literally like 8 different online giving platforms. So I think they're just trying to make it hard for us. I guess they think if it's did Peter just try to censor me by accident? No, I'm just kidding. I accidentally got muted there for a second. So they want to make it hard for us to do it because they think that if they make it hard, that we're going to stop. Like that we're just going to get frustrated and say, oh, I give up. It's too hard. But what they don't realize is that we rejoice at persecution. We thrive on the opposition. And so we're not stopping. We're not going away. No matter how hard they make it for us, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep winning souls. And I think what they accomplished by banning me from a country is by making us seem radical. I think that's their biggest goal, because they're not actually stopping people from hearing my message. Obviously, by banning me, more people end up hearing my message because it just draws attention to it. But what it does accomplish is that it makes it seem radical, so that basically people can be like, oh, Pastor Aaron's is so radical because did you hear he's banned from 31 countries? That can't be normal. So then it just kind of makes it seem crazy or radical, or I think that's what they're trying to do, to just try to make it seem like nobody agrees with me and that it's just a tiny group of people that believe like this. When in reality, there are millions and millions of people who feel the same way about all these issues that I do. I'm not the only person who thinks this stuff. So I think that they're trying to make it hard for us to operate, hoping that we'll just give up. And I think that they're trying to radicalize us or make us seem radical or wild or crazy so that people won't listen to us. But it's not going to work. You know, I mean, we're growing, we're thriving, we're succeeding, you know, by God's grace, hopefully we'll continue to do more.
I just want to know which one of those which one of those countries is the peanut butter chocolate, you know, because everybody likes the peanut butter chocolate of Baskin-Robbins. So, you know, what's your most favorite country to be banned from, if you have a favorite?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I were ever banned from eating peanut butter chocolate ice cream, that would break my heart. But being banned from any country doesn't break my heart. I mean, I guess the country that would break my heart the most would be Mexico, just because I love going to Mexico, but they haven't banned me yet. That would be sad. But as far as my favorite country to be banned from, I mean, I don't know. I love them all the same. But, you know, I guess being banned from South Africa, which is known as the rape capital of the world, where you can pay $50 to have someone murdered, that's probably not a bad place to be banned from.
Would you say, like, Israel would be like the peanut butter chocolate of being banned, though? Like, if you had to be banned from somewhere?
Yeah, because at least if I get banned from Israel, it just gives me an excuse to never go there. So, there you go. And then people can say, why aren't you doing missions in Israel? I'll be like, well, I can't. Sorry. So, Brother Shelley, what brings you to this conversation?
Yeah, so pretty recently was my first time to be introduced to Peter Reddock. And he had talked to me about how he was joining up with Pastor Berzins on documentary on censorship in general. And, you know, it's funny because I'd actually had, you know, the back of my mind trying to think about documentary ideas and things that were important. This was one of those topics that I'd actually thought about and think is very important, addressing and talking about. And I think there's a lot of different ways in which censorship happens, not just being banned from countries, but just even what we see with the modern Bible versions. We see obviously social media platforms are coming under a lot of pressure as far as censorship and how they're going to handle the freedom of speech or hate speech or whatever they want to deem, you know, as not acceptable or tolerated. And so I think it's a really interesting topic. I think it's something that we need to, you know, fight for our right to speak and to preach God's word and to let the light be shown. Because really these social media platforms, in my opinion, the only thing they really care about is money. And if all America would just basically say, hey, we hate fags together, they would just be like, sure, no problem. You know, we'll just do whatever. They really only care about the money. And so they just kind of, as the frog in the pot of boiling water, they're just constantly trying to push their opinion and just make sure that nobody's going to run away wholesale. Because if America really just pushed back, or if Christians pushed back, or if the truth was, you know, something that people were really interested in, I think the social media platforms would just be like, sure, we like Jesus, we like whatever, because all they care about is getting paid. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just all about money for these people. So.
Yeah, I think that the social media censorship is probably where we feel this the most, because getting banned from countries is kind of a hobby of mine. And as far as, you know, getting the financial stuff shut down, it's annoying, but you can work through it. But, you know, the times that we deal with this the most is on YouTube, Facebook. I mean, there are so many things that I want to say on Facebook, but I don't even say them because I know I can't say it without just immediately getting shut down. So sometimes I'll speak in a code or something, you know, where I'll put little stars and put like bundle of sticks or something. But basically on YouTube, what I've ended up doing is I put all my really hardest sermons on certain topics on a different channel. I have to have like these throwaway channels where I put that stuff. Cause if I put them on my main channel would be shut down by now.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't experienced what you've experienced, but even myself included, just one of my live streams on Facebook, whenever I was preaching on Dirty Whores was the title of my sermon, just like right in the middle of the live stream broadcast, it just was terminated and Facebook's like, this has violated our community guidelines. And, you know, I was really kind of surprised because typically it seems like they're very reactive to these type of videos or content, but for it to happen in the middle of a live stream, you know, I don't know if I just had like trolls watching and reporting me immediately, or if the title of my live stream video kind of flagged something in their system or whatever. But you can see the advancement of their technology is getting pretty, pretty good in the sense that they could stop a live stream, you know, only 20, 30 minutes into it. They already recognize it's something that they don't want and they just shut it down. And then I couldn't even post videos for like a month on that particular channel.
I've actually never had Facebook shut down any of my videos, but I never gave them a title. So it must be that they went off that title. I wonder if you would have put out a rap song called Dirty Hoes.
Right.
I wonder if that would have got censored. If you would have put out an album called Dirty Whores, you know, Facebook would probably love it.
Well, I put a post out there. I just put the dictionary definition of whore to wonder if that would get censored. You know, is the dictionary too radical for Facebook nowadays? you know, I don't know. It's crazy where the censorship goes, because obviously they're hypocrites about it, but they're getting a lot of pressure from all kinds of people to censor stuff. And, you know, it just really feels like it's just popular opinion at this point. So we need more Christians to voice that they want these type of opinions out there, and that it's not something that, you know, they can just easily shut down, or just, it's just a minority, because the more people that use this type of language and preach what the Bible says, the less likely they are going to be to want to monitor it and, you know, attack us and limit our speech. Cause I agree. I feel very limited when I go on Facebook. I feel like I can only express half of my opinions because I'm afraid of how it may be perceived or taken down, or the consequences of, you know, just expressing what the Bible teaches or your real viewpoints. I thought that was the point of social media. It's like, hey, this is how I feel. This is what I'm like trying to express. And I think that these social media platforms, if they're not careful, they'll allow another company to come in that actually allows freedom of speech to, you know, shut them down and destroy, you know, what they've actually built. But who knows?
So, hey, Brother Peter, do you want to just maybe give us a list of everybody you interviewed or all the topics that you're covering in this film? Can he hear me? Can you translate that to him? I don't know if he can hear me.
Yeah. Hey, Peter, you want to give us a rundown of some of your film's footage, or who's all in it?
Absolutely. Of course, I mean, what really intrigued me on this content of censorship was watching pretty much Faithful Word and seeing the Chandler incident transpire. And I realized, you know what, I really need to do something about this. You know, this is something that needs to be, that people need to know about police censoring too. Some of the people I have interviewed for this film have included prior presidential candidates such as Chuck Baldwin, CIA whistleblowers such as Kevin Shipp, and, you know, people like that who are inside the government, along with other congressmen and politicians who are inside the government, who are wanting to expose this as well.
Well, what about which pastors have you interviewed for the film, or what other people have you interviewed for the film besides those? Pastor Shelley, you want to translate?
Yeah. Hey, Peter, have you, what all pastors or interviewers have you had in the film so far, or what are you planning on in total?
As far as the pastors I've had the majority of the ones from this new IFB movement, including yourself, Pastor Steven Anderson, Pastor Burson, Pastor Jimenez, to name a few. And I mean, right now we are finished filming, but if there's anyone who is wanting to be a part of it, you know, do not hesitate to let me know, contact me in any way, and we will, you know, we'll find a way to get you inside of it.
So Peter, what's your like goal? Like what do you think for this film? Like, what are you trying to really accomplish, or what's the mission for this type of a film? Like, what is it that you're trying to achieve with this type of a documentary?
Well, the concept of censorship itself is a very broad topic. So this film is focusing mostly on how censorship is transpiring within, and how it's targeting Christians. And what can Christians do, and how can they be prepared and, you know, to face the persecutions that are lying ahead?
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about, Peter, because we talked about this way early on when you were first pitching the idea, and we were talking about, you know, this documentary even just being created before you'd started doing all the filming. And I think you had seen my hate speech sermon, right?
Oh, absolutely.
From I forget what month that was in. I don't know. It was a few months into Stronghold Baptist Church being a church. And one of the things, I think I brought it up in that sermon, but that I think is important that, you know, when we were collaborating together on this, is people understanding that someone like Pastor Anderson I think he's absolutely right. They're trying to target him specifically as being a radical, so that way people can just blow off anybody who listens to Pastor Anderson as, you're a radical, you're extreme, you're nuts, and then make it okay when they censor people like that and take away the funding and everything else, because the vast majority of people are going to say, oh, well, that's never going to happen to me, right? So what they end up doing, though, is end up moving the goalposts further and further and further in, so that way it applies to more and more and more people as they out and do away with people. And when nobody's standing up and saying, well, hold on a second, you know, I may not agree with what they have to say, but I mean, I don't just want everybody censored. I just don't want to, you know, live in my own echo chamber and just hear the people who are politically correct all the time. I want to be able to hear whoever I want to hear and not be censored. And I think one of the points that we had talked about was just, you know, how a lot of Christians need to realize that, you know, even if you don't have exactly the same beliefs, you know, they're going to be coming after Christians. And we know this anyways, that's what the scripture says, that there's going to be the tribulation, and it's going to be persecutions, but that's going to go hand in hand with censorship. They're going to try to censor the message. That's always been going on throughout history, but we've been very grateful and blessed to be in a country that has had so much freedom. And if we're not careful, you know, we ought to be doing as much as we possibly can in order to retain the free speech. And that comes through using it, right? I mean, you need to just be able to not be afraid to speak, because that's the goal. When people try to censor you, is they want to shut you up. They want you to stop, which obviously everyone on this call, we're not going to stop. We're not going to shut up, right? We're going to keep on doing what we do. And at the end of the day, if social media kicks you off, yeah, it's not fun, but you know, whatever. It doesn't mean our church is going to close its door. It doesn't mean we're going to stop doing what we're doing and reaching people. Obviously, you want to have the biggest mouthpiece, biggest soapbox you can have and reach the most people. You know, we want to have that. And I think we ought to fight to try to be able to do that. But the only way we're going to be able to do that is getting more people involved. Right. And absolutely, this documentary is going to help just shed some more light on the importance of our speech, especially religious free speech, because that's what we're talking about here. It's not, you're not going into all these other topics about speech, political speech, everything else. We're talking about our freedom to exercise our religion and be able to say things. How about just say things that the Bible says, right?
Well, I mean, let's be realistic here. I mean, from a foundation, these aren't just governmental rights. These are God-given rights that we are to exercise. I mean, if you look in the New Testament, even, you know, Christ told us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's commanding us to go out there and to speak, you know, to preach. And we need to exercise that.
So in this film, what you've done, though, is you've gone from getting pastors' views, right? Because you, as you mentioned, you've interviewed all of us. You interviewed, I know, Pastor Bogart, who's experiencing his own censorship.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the homos, right? He's been, you know, fined and threatened with jail. I think even put in jail and everything else over his speech, over preaching the Bible. There's a lot of people that you talk to getting the religious side, but then you also go in and you speak to some people who are in the government, because this hate speech thing might actually become a law at some point, right? It probably will. And I think that's another thing that people need to be aware of and be able to fight against and just have the knowledge. I think this documentary is going to do a good job of exposing a lot of what's going on. And it's also encouraging to know that not every single person inside the government is on board with the censorship plan.
Yeah, I've seen some clever things that the government's been doing. There was a video I found of Trump right before he's inaugurated. He's kind of making some speech, and he says that he wants to protect the LGBTQ community from a hateful, radical foreign ideology. And, you know, he's kind of speaking in broad terms, and most people, I think, are cheering because they're thinking of Islam and they're thinking of the Muslims and how you know, they hate homos and they're willing to even kill them, even though that actually is what the Bible says too. But based on his broad language, you could very easily see how the American public could, you know, pass or get behind certain laws that, you know, the government's making it seem like they're trying to fight Islam or this, you know, supposed other religion, and then quickly turn it on people like, you know, Pastor Anderson or ourselves or anybody else and be like, oh, well, there's these extremists like Westboro Baptist types. And obviously we want to protect, you know, citizens from them as well. And since we passed these laws, you know, we got to throw them in jail and persecute them and, you know, whatever it is that they want to kind of get away with. And so just awakening people to the idea that censorship, whether you agree with the thought process or you agree with what's being said, is not necessarily the most important. If you really start putting limiters on speech itself and the practice of freedom of religion, you know, it could very easily turn against you and turn against what you believe and what you want to say and communicate. So it's I'm really excited about the documentary and, you know, these ideas being put forth so that more people can wake up to the reality that 1984 is not just a novel. It's something that they're really trying to, you know, force down our throats. So Pastor Anderson, have you, what all censorship have you dealt with outside of just being banned?
Well, I mean, I've obviously had all those financial trials and tribulations that I brought up about having bank accounts shut down, financial services shut down. Obviously, we've had the police come out and you know, tell us that we can't go soul winning in certain neighborhoods or certain apartment complexes and things like that, which I believe Peter is covering in this film as well. A lot of strikes on YouTube. Spent a lot of time in Facebook jail. You know, I did my time in the Hooskow. And I mean, I guess that's it. So, I mean, I haven't, thankfully, the only real life censorship is just police coming out and harassing our soul winners, which, you know, even when they trespass us out of a neighborhood or an apartment complex, we just mark the calendar for 3 months later. And then we come back 3 months later and just finish it. So, I mean, there's always a workaround for all this stuff. So I guess that's really the only censorship I've experienced. It's pretty much just YouTube, Facebook, you know, the police stopping us from soul winning. I was thrown off iTunes also. iTunes shut me down about, I don't know, several years ago, many years ago. I was thrown off of iTunes. Somebody had this really good acronym where they put together, it was like Facebook. If you get banned by Facebook, Apple, Google, and Spotify, you know, then it was like, it spells a nice little acronym there. Because so, I guess, I don't even know what Spotify is, but I guess Alex Jones got banned from Facebook, Apple, Google, and Spotify. So then somebody put that acronym together. What is Spotify? Isn't that like a music thing or something?
Yeah, it's like a music platform. I think it's like Pandora. I don't know if you've ever used Pandora. It's just like a music subscription radio service or something. You can subscribe to audio channels.
Oh, okay.
You can listen
maybe
to
their radio show was on there or something.
Maybe yeah, a podcast or I'm something. Sure. Or podcast or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about
weren't you also banned from Sermon Audio?
Yeah, I was actually banned from Sermon Audio literally a decade ago, which is ridiculous because I meet up to their statement of faith and I was paying to be on there and I was paying to upload videos. That was actually the first censorship was Sermon Audio. And the thing that made me so mad was that, like, number one, I was paying to be on there and I believe in their statement of faith. So, you know, I should be allowed to be on there. But then number two, they'll leave a full blown cult leader like Joey Faust on there. Joey Faust is still on there to this day. And I mean, he violates their statement of faith and believes damnable heresy, and they don't delete him, but they delete me. So it's kind of like, man, what's the deal? But let all the Presbyterians hang out on Sermon Audio anyway. You know, it didn't really break my heart that much. But what else?
Didn't you like you obviously got persecuted with your business that you had? And then you even had like IRS things. Did you ever feel pressured?
You guys are bringing back all kinds of memories, you know? I'm like, yeah, that's the only censorship. Oh, yeah, and then there was sermon audio. Oh, yeah, and then there was a time that the IRS came and audited me. And then there was the time that, the homos shut down like 90% of my business. I mean, I've even had, even some of my relatives have been, who own businesses, have been harassed by people just for being related to Pastor Anderson. They got attacked and harassed. So now that you guys are kind of jogging my memory. Also, I don't know if it's still around, but there was this thing called GodTube.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, if YouTube doesn't work out, then get on GodTube. My whole account was deleted from GodTube within like 48 hours. So, I mean, they were worse than YouTube as far as like censoring real preaching. So.
What about you, Pastor Bersons? I know you've had some trials and tribulations. It seems like you've gone through some censorship, you know, maybe from an outside perspective, you know. That people might not understand, but there's still a lot of pressure when maybe your job's at stake or, you know, just financial pressures of the church or just anything like that. So what kind of stuff have you kind of experienced?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because really a lot of persecution can fall under the censorship category because the whole purpose of the persecution is just to get you to shut up, to get you to stop, to get you to just quit what you're doing. So that's why, like, I mean, I already have, in a short time I've been here at Stronghold, have experienced quite a few things, actually a lot more than I ever did in Arizona and with Word of Truth. There's just been one thing after another, it seems. And you know, our church hasn't even been around for a year yet. I've already, I lost one job due to the news story that came out. I almost lost my second job right after that as a result of the same thing. We just had the fire department called on our church because we didn't have a certificate of occupancy. I guarantee it wasn't anyone within our church that was worried about the certificate of occupancy. So someone who's never visited our church decided just to, hey, let's call these government agencies and see what sticks, right? So now we're in the midst of dealing with all that, getting everything up to code and whatever, right? It's just another basically harassment and way to get us to spend more money and hopefully try to, you know, their hope would be to financially hurt the church and get us shut down. The news story that appeared on locally here was the result of people who wanted to get us shut down because where we were originally meeting, it took us a real long time to find a location to lease. I don't know why. It's just, it must be this area or whatever.
Son, you gotta get out of here, bud.
I think it's just the Atlanta area is, you know, right now it's just real hard to find a space to rent. So we ended up renting a room in a community building or a county, you know, just a public building, right? Government owned park. And we rented out a room there. So that's where we're meeting. That's where all our sermons were preached and posted up on YouTube and whatever. And then, you know, whenever I'd preach a hard sermon, you know, against sodomites or whatever, the haters would recognize that. And what they did was they called the news channel and said, hey, this guy's preaching in a government building. How can this be allowed? Because I was preaching against homos, right? And what's funny about that is, you know, if you were just to look at the laws of the country and the Constitution of the United States, you would think that you should have the most freedom in a government building since supposedly we have the Bill of Rights with the United States Constitution guaranteeing your freedom of speech. But this is how backwards the mentality is today, because nowadays, and this is what the government's turning into, is just a big bully, right? Just someone that the people are supposed to fear instead of the government being in fear of the people. And not the government's not looked at as someone that's as an entity that's supposed to protect our rights and freedoms. People are trying to use the government to go after people, to shut them up and to basically remove their rights and their freedoms. And that's what was happening with our church here, was someone was trying to get us shut down and trying to use, oh, they're meeting in a government facility in order to do that. And that's what prompted that whole story. And it's, you know, from there, the news, but I mean, a news thing that, that whoever wanted to get us on the news, it didn't work in their favor at all. I mean, you could say, well, you lost your job, Pastor Berzins. Yeah. But that, for anyone who saw that news story, like, that was great. I almost felt bad. I felt a little ripped off because I thought we were going to get a lot worse slander or whatever, because I'm used to seeing how Pastor Anderson's been dealt with the media. And they actually did a pretty fair job of representing our point of view. They didn't
It was like the ultimate advertisement for your church.
Seriously.
You almost couldn't have filmed a better, like, church promo than that piece that they ran. It was great.
Well, and then after that, like, I got way more support than I actually got negative. I was expecting to get all this hate mail. I turned the church phone to just automatically go to voicemail, just kind of being prepared to not have to deal with all the garbage, especially while I was working and stuff. But it didn't come. What I ended up getting was way more people in Georgia saying, "Hey, brother, I'm with you. Hey, I'm standing with you. You know, keep on preaching the good word." You know, all this words of encouragement. And as a result, now I actually have two new church members recently that came because they saw the news story and they agreed with it. They wanted to be here. So they ended up getting saved in our church, and one of them got baptized and now is coming to church every week. So, hey, praise God. It's what they want to use for evil, God's using for good. So
that's worth losing a job for, right?
Amen. Well, and then the funny thing is too, is that the job that I lost now, the job that I have now is way better. So it's, you know, it's closer to the house. I've got more time. It's, you know.
Well, I guarantee you that God's not going to bless that company that fired you. I mean, it doesn't happen always right away, but I strongly believe that all of these companies that would fire you for preaching the word of God and everything, I mean, they're going to be doomed. Like, they're going to be punished. They're going to fail. They're going to go bankrupt. The bad things are going to happen. I mean, that's just the way things work. You know, like the company, when I lost like 90% of my business back in the day for preaching against sodomites, that company ended up getting bought out by some other company. And then they brought me back on and I got that part of my business back, because the new Pharaoh, you know, that didn't know Joseph was like, "Yeah, why aren't we using you anymore?" And I'm like, "Well, good question. Let's do it. And then I was like back in business because they ended up being bought out by someone else. So, and then the guy who went after me hard on CNN back in 2009, Rick Sanchez, he ended up getting fired from CNN for being anti-Semitic. Talk about poetic justice. He said some mild comment negatively about the Jews, and he literally got fired for anti-Semitism. So these people aren't going to be blessed. So, you know, we should rejoice in persecution. What they mean for evil, God means for good. It results in people getting saved. It results in you getting a better job. It results in your church being blessed. It results in rewards in heaven. But they're the ones who are ending up being doomed.
Well, and I mean, some people get really afraid of their own shadow. You know, I certainly don't think that you should go around advertising everything that you believe to everybody. And so, you know, if I was at a job, you know, working, I would just, you know, keep my head down and do my work and show up and whatever the boss says, yes, sir. But one time it came to the point where, you know, I was pretty much forced to work with a sodomite. And I just told my boss, like, "I'm going to quit if you make me do this. Like, I'm not going to work here. I'm, you know, life's too short. I'm trying to, you know, be a pastor or do these things." And my boss was just basically like, "Hey, you know, we're not going to hire the guy necessarily. And, you know, don't quit on us." And, you know, they ended up just not even interviewing the guy anymore, didn't talk to him. And, you know, he knew exactly where I stood. I told him, I said, "Hey, as soon as you do that, I'm quitting." And he was like, "No, just stay on." And then even in fact, when I ended up leaving that company, you know, just to start doing more, you know, to take on Steadfast and everything, they were like, "Hey, we want to keep you. And, you know, whenever things calm down with your four locations, you want to keep working." And I was just like, "No, I've got too much going on." So, you know, even in the midst of, you know, standing on what you actually believe, you know, most people aren't these liberal retards that just believe in this garbage. So If you just say, hey, I don't like working with perverts and child molesters, you know, most people actually agree with you. So, you know, some people are just afraid of their own shadow when it comes to that stuff. And like I said, I don't think that you should go around just advertising everything you believe. But, you know, sometimes when you just stand for that which is right, you know, you'll be surprised the true outcome.
Yeah, like one time I never went around talking about what I believed either, because, you know, I kept work and church separate, just because, you know, when you're working for someone else, especially, you have to represent the company. You're not really there in your own name. You're not really representing yourself. So it's not really your place to be on a soapbox all the time when you're supposed to be working and representing the company. But I remember one time I was at one of our customers, and there was this short-haired lady that worked there that was just like a super liberal. She was actually a nice person, but she was just really liberal. And so she was kind of like talking about how she was voting on something for the sodomites in Arizona. I don't even remember what it was, but I think it was either for them to get married or whatever it was. I don't even remember. This is like almost 10 years ago. And she's just loudly talking about in the office about this, and like, oh yeah, you guys got to get out there and vote about this and whatever. She wasn't even a sodomite, but she was just like being a fag hag. So she's just like, oh, you got to vote for this, whatever. So then she says to me, she's like, you know, well, hey, Steve, you know, how do you feel about that? You know, are you going to vote on that or whatever? And I just said, well, I don't even know what that proposition is, but whichever way is against the homos, that's the way I'm going to be voting. And then she just like punched me on the shoulder and thought I was kidding. She's like, oh, stop it or whatever. And I'm just like, no, seriously, you know, I'm against that. And when I said that, literally like half the office, everybody had just been silent. And this woman was just dominating the conversation with this. But as soon as I said, like, I'm sorry, but I am against it, you know, like, that's where I stand. Then, like, literally, like, almost everyone else in the office, like, yeah, yeah, me too. I don't believe in that stuff. Yeah, I'm going to be voting against that stuff too. So, like, once one person broke the ice where I basically said, I'm against the homos, then, like, all of a sudden, everybody's like, yeah, me too. Because that's how the majority of people feel in their heart. They just feel like if they say that, they're going to be branded as a bigot or hateful or
right? It's illegal or something. Yeah, that's what my boss was saying. He's like, hey, it's illegal, you know, to do this kind of stuff. And I just said, well, look, it's illegal to persecute me for my religious viewpoints. And I said, the honest truth is, if this sodomite knew how I feel about him, he wouldn't want to work with me either. So it's just a hypocritical situation any way you look at it. And most people think it's disgusting anyway. So they're just afraid to say it because of whatever the government or hate speech or Facebook tells them.
Yeah. And I didn't have any negative repercussions from that incident. And because she brought it up, they couldn't really get mad at me because she was badgering everybody and trying to kind of force this view on everybody. And she's flat out asked me, like, what's your opinion? So I think if you're asked for your opinion, you should definitely tell the truth and give your opinion. But at the same time, you got to kind of know the boundaries. And especially when you're amongst unsaved people anyway, if there is an opportunity where it's appropriate to talk about the word of God, typically you're going to want to bring up the gospel or something more important than to just rip on sodomites, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Peter, can you give us some more details about your film as far as like the exact title and the debut, maybe, you know, some other future work that you have going on?
He seems like he's taking a break. So you may
absolutely. The title of this one is Censored, The War on Free Speech. And as far as the debuting, the plan is to get it released later this year. However, in order to do that, we're still needing to raise some more funds for the post-production, for like the editing side.
So someone interested in supporting your film, like how do they get in touch with you, or is it through, you know, Pastor Berzins, or what's the method?
They can either get in touch with me through Pastor Berzins, or I can send a link to my email. Also, I have I set up a Patreon for this project.
What's your Patreon name or information?
It should, let me pull it back up real quick. So it should be on the Patreon on Censored War on Free Speech. Let's see. I had it set up on the other stream. So
Okay, well, we can put some of those links and stuff down
below. Yes, it's right. And I have, it's called Censored War on Free Speech Documentary.
Great.
Yes. And I'll you go ahead and copy and I'll paste this in your chat real quick. There you go.
Cool. Yeah, I can put it out there in the description and everything so that the viewers, if they want to get behind this documentary. So you've already made the one documentary, Being Baptist. So is this going to be, you know, we're just going to keep having Peter Reddick films just coming out, or, you know, what's the future?
God willing, yes. I would love to, I love controversy topics. I love topics that are important. And I think that is, as long as there's always something controversial going on, I'm going to be making films about it.
Let me jump in here too, because Peter's a pretty humble guy, but he's been working tremendously. And as much as I've ever known him, you know, we've been sponsoring this project. We've been wanting this film to get out as a church at Stronghold. So we've been doing what we can to try to fund this film. And Peter's been working extremely hard and is not getting paid. Like he's been doing everything all in his own time. And he's been keeping a really good budget on all the travel and everything else he needs to do, all the filming, you know, everything that he's doing. He's really doing a good job. So, you know, I would just like to ask, you know, if anyone out there is interested in this subject, interested in this topic on free speech, just to help fund it. You know, I mean, there's still a little ways to go. I'd say maybe we're about halfway done, because the traveling is done as far as the expenses go, but now it gets into the more expensive parts of with the production and the audio and the editing and everything else that's going on. So if you are out there watching and you want to get behind this, Peter's a great guy. His heart's in it. This isn't something he's just doing to make a bunch of money. This is obviously a very important topic that he feels is very, very something that people need to be aware of, something that he wants to get out there and have this message made known far and wide. And, you know, if you feel passionate about this, about free speech and where our country's headed between the social media and the government and just all the persecution that seems to be coming our way, then support this documentary, because this is going to be something that a lot of people are going to be able to put in the hands of other Christians, especially in a broader sense, to kind of sound the alarm, if you will, about what's actually happening. And, you know, oftentimes now, look at how many people have been woken up through YouTube, through Facebook. Most of Pastor Anderson's listeners, I mean, that's where they came from, right? How did you first hear about all this hard preaching? That's helped so many lives. It's been through social media. It's been through these platforms. And if you appreciate that, hopefully you can help to spread the word so that people can be more vigilant about this and kind of know what to do. And I know that was one of the points that when Peter and I were talking about this film, I want to leave people with a real strong kind of to do, right? An action. What do you do at the end? You know, so you could hear certain information, but what is there to be done about it? And that's part of the point of these documentaries, is to help people identify what you can do, right? What is your part? What is it that each person can individually do to have an impact, to have any influence, to try to counteract all the censorship that's been coming our way?
Yeah. So, Peter, how did you get to this point? How did you find out about, you know, some of these pastors, and what kind of inspired you to even make these films? Was there another film that you saw or a video, or what's kind of gotten you to this point where you're really wanting to spread this truth?
Start off by saying that I came across, of course, Pastor Anderson on YouTube back in 2012, 2013. And right about the same time, he was promoting his After the Tribulation. And it was one of those films that with him and Paul worked on together, that it was different than anything else. And I went to the school for filmmaking. And so it was one of those things that I really wanted to put my talents to a good purpose and not just do, you know, standard commercials. And like, I do commercials for a 9-to-5 job anyway, but, you know, I don't want to just be stuck in that. I want to use my talents for God. And that's why I'm doing these films.
Great. Pastor Anderson, now you've done a lot of films with Paul. Paul was doing a lot of documentaries about different controversial topics. Have y'all ever talked about the censorship one? Has this been something that y'all wanted to touch before?
No, not really. I mean, we don't really sit and talk a lot about new ideas for documentaries just because typically if we talk about an idea, then that it ends up happening. And then we kind of have so many projects going on right now that we're typically not looking for a new project or a new idea. Usually the ideas just kind of fall into our lap, you know, and then we're just kind of tied up on those ideas. So I don't think this one's ever come up, but you know, one time I sat down and just made a list of like 30 documentary ideas, documentaries that I like to make. So there are so many great topics out there. I don't think you're ever going to run out of topics, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because I think that, you know, if Paul Wittenberger spent a lifetime making films and guys like Peter Reddock and others spent a lifetime making films, you're never going to run out of ideas. Because like I sat down, like I said, in one sitting came up with like 30 ideas that I think would be good documentaries. So. And I'm sure I was only scratching the surface. I mean, as many, think about all the things we preach about. I mean, there's so many topics. So,
yeah, I think that's a good point because, you know, there's only so much you as one person can even do. And so, you know, having other people that want to put a lot of creativity and time and energy in making these films is just, is great that we can, you know, come at it from different angles and talk about other topics that, you know, we wouldn't necessarily have all the time and effort and energy to put into it. Cause I actually had thought about this topic, but you know, I don't have the time, effort and energy. So thank God we have people like Peter and Pastor Bergens that want to, you know, lead the charge and put these things together so that we can enjoy them later. Right.
Yeah. And then typically, you know, I even in the past, I've brought up certain ideas to Paul Wittenberger and he wasn't really jazzed about that idea. Then I sometimes made it myself, like some of the ones that I did on the side, my little kind of, you know, what I call mini documentaries or kind of ghetto documentaries that I've put together. So
there's just AIDS, the Judgment of God.
Yeah, a little plug for AIDS, the Judgment of God. If you can find it, because it's so censored, it's hard to even find, you know.
That one was great, no matter how ghetto it was, you know.
It's been removed from YouTube so many times, like. And now if I try to upload to YouTube, YouTube's just like, no, like it won't even upload. It just, it'll just fail. The upload just fails. It's just like, don't try to upload this again.
Buddy. Yeah. I tried to upload it and it failed on me. I think I got a successful copy of it on Vimeo or whatever, but you know, nobody ever goes there. So
someday, and you know, you were kind of talking about how, like, you know, the censorship's going to keep, you know, getting more as we go forward. That's why I think it's important to have a hard copy of things. So, you know, let's say we got completely censored from social media. Well, that's where the flash drives and the DVDs and the CDs come in handy.
Yeah.
To kind of keep this stuff alive just with physical media, just handing it out. It's going to be like the old fashioned way of handing it out, you know? So.
I think that's a good point. We need to have our own little, internet database, unless they're going to just turn the whole internet down on us or something. I don't know.
But even if they turn off the internet, they're going to have to collect all the hundreds of thousands of DVDs, CDs, and flash drives that we have floating around.
It's like the gun confiscation or something.
I think we need to just keep on, you know, producing the physical media in our churches too, so that all our eggs aren't in the internet basket, and just kind of, you know, distribute all that physical stuff and hand it out door to door and stuff like that, because, you know, that's just another way to get it out there. So,
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories of a lot of people that came to Faithful Baptist Church from the physical copies. They just found it somewhere, or it's in the trash or whatever. You know, it's like, hey, what's this? And it's like, oh, this is great.
So there was a guy who got saved because he found Marching Design in a trash can. He pulled it out and watched it and ended up coming to one of our events. And I won the guy the Lord myself when he showed up.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool story when that guy told me that. And then also, I'll go to like used bookstores and stuff, and I'll see they'll be like selling used copies of After the Tribulation, Marching to Zion, stuff like that, at video stores and bookstores and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. It'll show up every once in a while, like a Goodwill or a Salvation Army in the DVD section.
Well, I mean, the whole world's always like 20 or 30 years behind American technology. So some of these like other countries around the world, like DVDs are a hot thing. So like when we go across the seas and we bring DVDs, they're like, awesome. You know, they really want those things. So, you know, that's how they.
Yeah. Sometimes when I've been on the Apache reservation, I sometimes wished I had a VHS of some of these. Because I've literally walked into people's houses in like 2018 and they just have stacks of VHS. I'm like, hey, you got a DVD player? They're like, no, just VHS. But that's pretty rare. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, even when DVDs stop being a thing in the US, they're still going to be a thing in South America and Africa for a little bit longer. That's yeah. True.
They didn't have a cassette tape version, too.
The what?
They didn't ask for a cassette tape of your preaching, too.
Yeah. So basically, like when you've got the opportunity on social media, I figure, man, let's use it. Like while YouTube is allowing us to do whatever we want, pretty much, or at least get away with 99% of it, man, we need to just get it out there on YouTube because we never know when that door is going to close. So let's make hay while the sun's shining.
Right. No, I agree. Well, I figure let's get some closing thoughts before we kind of end this thing. Pastor Burgess, did you have anything else that you were wanting to plug or talk about this evening?
No, not really. I'm really excited about this film coming out. I'm excited about Being Baptist. I can't wait for that to come out. That's going to be an awesome film. And then, of course, after that, this documentary, Censored: The War on Free Speech. Peter's put in a lot of hard work. And you know, for those of you, you know, most people don't know who he is at all because there's nothing full length has come out yet. But now it's going to be get ready for Brother Peter here. He's going to be getting a lot of work going. He's got a lot of ideas. So, you know, anyone that wants to help support, I think we're looking to raise about $10,000 to help finish all the costs. If anyone out there is willing to donate, we definitely would appreciate it. And but either way, I mean, we're getting this thing's coming out. It's going to get finished. We're going to put it out there. But yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I am too. Pastor Anderson, do you have anything else you want to kind of say there in the closing?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to being Baptist, some people have asked the question, "What would you be if you were not Baptist?" And the answer is, I'd be ashamed of myself. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, yeah, I appreciate Peter's work. Looking forward to seeing Being Baptist at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I think this is a great project. I think it's a great idea. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I'm in. I'm for it.
Great.
I love how there are so many things always going on in our movement. There's so many videos being made and preaching conferences and soul winning events. Just there's just a lot happening. It's almost impossible to keep up with all of it, which is a great problem to have. That that so many things are happening. So I just appreciate Peter's work and everybody who's helping him. Pastor Burzin's helping him and working with them. So it's gonna be cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Hey, Peter Reddock, do you want to give us any closing remarks or anything you want to talk about there at the end?
I guess I would just like to say, you know, most importantly, I just want to thank, you know, thank Jesus for, you know, allowing me to be able to do this and, you know, keep me safe for the travels. Also, I want to thank you all for, just being men of courage, because without you guys standing up and preaching the truth, you know, people like me, you know, probably wouldn't be doing it either.
Yeah, we definitely need, you know, lots of people to take a stand, but it's not just one man. It's not just one preacher by himself up there, because then the cult thing will seem really weird. You know, we need a whole group of Christians that are going to stand up, you know, with us and to change this nation. And, you know, little as much when God is in it, but we need to continue to grow and multiply. And I think as we see the persecution, you know, coming, no matter what they try to do to censor, they can't censor the truth. They can't censor God's word. It's the most popular book in human history, the King James Bible. No matter what they try to do, they can't get it out of our hands. And so we just need to preach from the housetops. And if God be for us, you know, who can be against us? So that's pretty much it for this evening. I appreciate everybody that came to the live stream. We'll put some links down below for all of Peter Reddock's information. You can support the documentary. And if you can just be praying for this project, and God bless you guys. Y'all have a good night.